What in God's name do you need a solvent for except to kill someone?
That's an outrageous slur.
Google it, mate.
The only way that you can preserve peace is to prepare for war.
Views on News with Mark Latham. Mark Latham. Mark
Latham. Leader of One Nation in New South Wales, take two, Mark Latham. How are you, Mark?
Hi, I'm here on take two. I got you, Brent. Good to be with you.
Likewise. Nice to have you with us, Mark. Thank you for your time. The first independent review of the Reserve Bank in four decades is already focusing on Governor Philip Lowe, his executives, and the institution's board amid criticism of the bank's handling of interest rate policies before and during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, again, May, June, July, August, September. They're looking at October, maybe November and December, possibly. Another Christmas present of an interest rate rise. What did they get wrong, Mark?
Well, Philip Lowe got everything wrong and should fall on his sword. This guy has shown he's not competent enough to be the head of the independent monetary policy authority setting the official interest rate and then influencing all the mortgage interest rates and business interest rates right around Australia. He said initially there wouldn't be any rate rises until 2023. He promised a year of stability, no interest rate rises for 2022. That's gone right out the window. And you know, the main job of the Reserve Bank is stability and certainty. Certainty for investors and stability in terms of the inflation rate. Now, I don't know what sort of economist Philip Lowe is, but he must have been putting his head right in the sand or closing his eyes at the end of last year if he didn't see the inflationary surge coming as a product of supply chain shortages, labour shortages, problems overseas, rising petrol prices, rising grocery prices, the impact of the vaccination mandates. I mean, if you didn't see inflation coming at the end of last year, you're not much of an economist, and you certainly shouldn't be heading the Reserve Bank. And now we're going to need many more interest rate rises that are bigger than they otherwise needed to be to get on top of the inflation problem. And he's the one person responsible for that.
They say this review has already started talking to interest rate experts, economists and policymakers. I made the comment this afternoon. Well, you know, you would think that someone like the Reserve Bank governor months and months ago would have been also getting the opinion of those experts and those policymakers and other economists so that he could base his decision upon evidence and advice given from these people, sought from these people.
Well, he's been asleep at the wheel. You only had to listen to someone like Peter Costello, who heads up the Nine Media Group, but, you know, a very long-serving and successful treasurer. He was talking about the inflationary surge and the need for tightening of monetary policy, interest rate rises at the end of last year, to nip it in the bud. That's the whole point. If you get in early, you can stop the inflationary surge by suppressing the economy and then go back to a period of stability without this pattern of an interest rate rise every month. So how about we get Philip Lowe out and put Costello in? Because he called this, he called it 100% correct. He's got vast experience. I dare say he's a much better economist than Lowe. His credentials are stronger, and the whole country would be better off using Costello, not to head up a media group, but the Reserve Bank.
Okay. Honestly, Chalmers was on TV, breakfast TV this morning, and, you know, there were people asking him left, right and centre about the future of the RBA governor, and he just palmed it off. Can you honestly see someone sacking this bloke?
Well, how big does the failure need to be? If you say there's no interest rate rises in 2022 and then you're putting them up every month, if you got it totally wrong, if you didn't see the inflation problem coming at the end of last year, if you look like the most muddle-headed economist in the country, then of course you've got to move on. I mean, Lowe himself should acknowledge this and make a resignation speech. If he doesn't, Chalmers should just say, listen, you've got this so badly wrong, you've hurt so many Australians with your errors of judgment, we need to bring in a better governor of the Reserve Bank who's got a better sense of the state of the economy. And there's many candidates. I mentioned Costello, but there's many other candidates, of course. And I would have thought if you got, at the end of last year, if you got 100 economists in a room, 99 of them would have said, inflation's coming, we've got to start moving on interest rates. The other one is Philip Lowe. So what does that say about him?
Well said. Can I ask you, have we always had here an RBA?
We've had variations of it. The Chifley government at the end of World War II established the equivalent of a reserve bank, which was under a different type of monetary policy. It was when we had a fixed exchange rate and the interest rates were determined a different way. Nugget Coombs was the first governor of this organisation, and then under the Keating and then the Howard governments, it moved to a model of independence where the governor didn't have to ring up the treasurer to get approval for an interest rate rise.
Right.
And they were given a mandate to keep inflation between 2 and 3%. That's Lowe's other big failure. His official target is to keep inflation between 2 and 3%, and it's more than double that. So he's failed on that front as well. We've had this system in place of an independent reserve bank, inflation targeting between 2 and 3% using the cash rate. It's been in place now for over 25 years, and this is the most monumental failure we've had. The rest of the period under other governors has been quite successful. So Lowe stands out as a hopeless failure, and he's got to go.
He's at a luncheon at the moment, and the media are asking him questions, and one of his answers, the magnitude of rise, he said this. The governor said, the magnitude of rise in inflation came as a surprise. I think it only came to him as a surprise, didn't it, Mark?
Yeah, that's what I say. He's the one in 100. We talked about it, Brent. It was in the newspapers. What was this guy doing? It was no surprise to anyone who had a basic sense of economic reality, and he missed it. He missed it, and not only missed it, he said we won't be moving interest rates at all in 2022. There'll be no need. Everyone relax. You know, you can plan your home purchase, you can plan your business expansion, you can plan all your finances around my rock solid prediction of no interest rate changes in 2022. So how's that looking? I mean, so many people have been wrong footed by this. It's a gross act of incompetence, and surely he must pay a price. I mean, he's paid a squillion. He'd be paying much more than the Prime Minister.
Oh, yeah.
And he's underperformed.
He paid more than $1 million, he is.
Is that right? Well, he's double the Prime Minister, and we're not getting much value out of Lowe.
Apparently $1,060,000 a year.
Well, I tell you what, on that money, you shouldn't be the 1 in 100 dunce in the corner, should you?
No, certainly not. Okay, let's talk about the New South Wales budget estimates. The head of the Health Department, Susan Pearce, she couldn't answer a question that you asked her yesterday. Let's have a listen to this.
Ms. Pearce, under your leadership of the department, what is the definition of a woman?
Now, Mark, I started to play this afternoon, and I said to the caller when I was promoting the fact that we were talking to you, and this was one of the things we were going to be talking about, I said, but hang on a tick, what I should have done with this was play it like this.
Ms. Pearce, under your leadership of the department, what is the definition of a woman?
Mr. Lathan, I don't know that the Health Department has issued a definition of a woman. I'll take that on notice.
Take it on notice, love. Take it on notice. My goodness me. Why did you ask her that question?
Well, it's a hot topic. The Regional Health Minister in the Upper House took 4 or 5 attempts to provide a definition of a woman, but she did in the end. It was tried in Canberra, where Murphy down there, the head of the Federal Health Department, said it was a contested concept, which is nonsense. And you've had a lot of woke stuff around worrying women, where they're not provided the respect of being actually called a woman and given a proper definition of an adult biological female. They're being described as the lactating parent or the parent with a uterus and all this sort of woke nonsense that's around in the debate. So if you go to a hospital, or the maternity ward or anywhere else, then you should have the respect of being identified and known as a woman, not these ridiculous woke concepts that are out of line with reality. So for Pearce to say they don't have a definition, well, the Minister for Regional Health does, so she was obviously unaware of that. And women are half the population. There must be, nearly 4 million females in New South Wales, and they deserve the dignity and respect of having a proper definition of their gender, including Susan Pearce.
Yes.
She's a woman who couldn't even tell us what a woman is.
And she'll get back to you.
Well, she's going to have to go think about it, take it on notice, and write down an answer that'll come back in 2 weeks' time, where apparently she'll be sitting on a mountaintop considering the philosophical ramifications of what I said, and she'll meditate on it and then provide me with a written answer. I mean, all you've got to say is what Dominic Perrottet said, the head of the government here, said that a woman is an adult biological female. Now, I put that to her as well. I said, well, do you support Perrottet's definition? I mean, he's the head of the government. Surely that's the definition that should come out of her lips.
And when you asked her that question, what was her reply?
Oh, Hazard jumped in. Brad Hazard didn't define it either. He's as weak as water. And he jumped in to say, she's taking it on notice, she's taking it on notice, and you're bullying her. You know, everything I said apparently was bullying people. He said, all you do is bully women. My main questions were to Dr. Michael Douglas, who's a man, and Hazard, who doesn't look like a woman. So I don't know what Hazard was going on about, but he was insisting that she should have time for it. You know, you talk about highly paid health officials. She runs the multi-billion dollar New South Wales Health Department, Susan Pearce. She'd be on over $500,000 a year at least. And you'd expect her to have the common sense and reality of being able to answer a straight question, what is a woman?
Yeah, we'll come back to Brad Hazard. Dominic Perrottet has no answer on how New South Wales could avoid blackouts as forecast by AEMO. That's a problem. That's a concern.
Well, it's a huge concern. I was shocked that earlier in the day at Premier's estimates, I said, you've got AEMO, the Australian Energy Market Operator, you've got New South Wales government energy officials held in upper house documents saying that after the closure of Eraring in 2025, New South Wales is going to have a shortage of electricity supply, that is blackouts. And the reason is they'd all been relying on Snowy 2.0 hydro project coming online. But it's delayed. The head of the Snowy 2.0 has resigned, Paul Broad, after a disagreement with Chris Bowen. The project's delayed, the costs are blown out, and the Hume link, to hook it into the grid, is delayed as well. So it's not coming to the rescue, and we're stranded post-2025 to keep the lights on. And the ramifications are huge. Who would invest in New South Wales if we can't provide a guarantee of the lights staying on in just 3 years' time? So I thought Perrottet must have an answer. His answer was, I'll have to take some advice on that. Well, I hope he takes the advice really, really quickly, because we're running out of time to ensure that these forecasts from credible organisations are not realised in practice.
Oh, dear. Now, look, tell me all about this Anna Watson situation, because I heard you on a couple of media outlets over the last couple of days. You used a budget estimates hearing to ask officials whether the members of an advisory group overseeing the Broderick report into bad behaviour on Macquarie Street were subject to a vetting process, is the article that I've got here. Tell me more about this Labor MP Anna Watson.
Well, wouldn't you think that in setting up a committee of MPs to judge the behaviour of others here in Parliament House, you'd find the angels in the building, the angels floating around, and you'd have a vetting process to say to these applicants, look, if you've badly been on the grog and disgraced yourself, or you've done something, you know, in the realm of sexual harassment, or you've got some other problems of misbehaviour, don't go on the committee to judge all the other MPs and staff in the building. But no, not Anna Watson. Not Anna Watson, the Labor member for Shell Harbour. I was meeting with a colleague in the staff bar in August of 2020, and she was as drunk as anyone I've ever seen in a parliamentary precinct. The language I can't repeat on a show like this. And she's now said that at the end of 2020 she had a drinking problem. Well, Anna, if you had a drinking problem in the building, in a public place, the Parliament of New South Wales, instead of down there working for your constituents in Shell Harbour in the Illawarra, don't nominate yourself for the committee that commissioned the Broderick report and has led to the termination of Walt Secord's political career unnecessarily, thrown slurs at Tanya Mihalik and Jenny Leong from the Greens. Don't put yourself on the committee judging others. Just put your head down, get over your drinking problem, and don't go on this committee. So I'm astounded at the lack of self-awareness from this Anna Watson, who has owned up to the drinking problem, and she should never have been on the committee. They should never have commissioned the Broderick report, which I regard as a disaster for many other reasons, but I certainly wasn't going to sit here being judged by the likes of Anna Watson, having seen her disgraceful behaviour in a public part of the New South Wales Parliament building.
Okay, we left the best to last, I think. I've got a little bit of audio of what happened yesterday at the budget estimates hearing.
I'm not getting involved in this stupidity. Seriously, we're trying to run a health system.
Minister,
in the middle of a pandemic.
Applied these rules rules to millions of people in New South Wales. You didn't apply them to yourself. And you're refusing to answer questions about
them. I didn't have any say in that. That's a matter for the health provision.
Minister, why did you isolate initially for 24 hours if you weren't a close contact? Why did you go into isolation initially for the 24-hour period?
I'm not going to involve myself in this discussion with you. You're a grub. You're a born grub. Attacking females yesterday in here.
Minister, females who didn't deserve your odium, and
I'm not going to engage
with you. Minister, why did you isolate yourself?
God only knows how you...
Minister, you knew that you shook hands with the Marshal. You knew that you stood next to him. You knew in front of witnesses you had a conversation with him. Minister, you knew you were a close contact, didn't you?
Hazzard has a reputation of telling people to go away or calling them names when they ask questions that he doesn't like being asked. We saw examples of it during the pandemic at press conferences when journalists were to ask him a question that he didn't really want to answer, and you know, he dismissed them, or he would say something, you know, go away. And yesterday we saw it in as a fine example in when you asked him a question.
Yeah, he was arrogance on steroids, and his only form of answer was abuse when there was a serious issue at stake. That in June last year, he was at the National Party dinner on budget night here in the Parliament House, where he shook hands with Adam Marshall, who was COVID infected. He had a conversation with Adam Marshall. He stood next to Adam Marshall. Two contact tracers provided documents saying he was a close contact. Adam Marshall had direct contact with Hazzard. Hazzard isolated for 24 hours knowing he was a close contact, but then somehow he got off the hook and didn't have to do the full 14 days of isolation. Now, if you're going to make up the rules and apply the rules to millions of people in New South Wales that they had to do 14 days of isolation at that time, subsequently reduced to 7 and now 5, well, if you make up those rules and you lecture people about always following the rules, you've got to follow them yourself. And Hazzard didn't. And pretty well everyone on his own side knows that. I was simply trying to hold him to account. His own standards of follow the rules. And this arrogant schmuck only had, you know, the go away or you're a grub type of response. So he's not into accountability. He's not into following his own rules. And what happened there last year was a disgrace.
As we refer to him here, Hazzard by name, Hazzard by nature. But he is going to, is he resigning at the end of this term?
Yeah, I hope so. He's been here for 31 years and that's too long. And it's the rule in politics, the longer you stay, the more arrogant
you become.
The power goes to their head. And the whole thing in the pandemic, if you're going to go lecturing people every day, millions of people in New South Wales about following the rules, you've got to set the example. You've got to be the role model for doing that. Now, clearly, he was a close contact of Adam Marshall. All the documents and the evidence point to that. But he got out of isolation after one day when he should have done 14. Now, that's just plain wrong. I think it's a resignation offence. I was trying to get more information from budget estimates, which is why we're there. I'm only asking questions. I mean, I'm not making any accusations at the budget estimates. I'm asking questions to elicit information. That's my job. Hazzard's job is to answer questions. But he knows he's guilty of sin, so all he had was abuse.
It's been a good week for you. Well done.
Well, lots happening, but that's the whole point of budget estimates. The ministers have got to be accountable to the people of New South Wales. They can avoid the media, but they can't avoid MPs at estimates. That's why we do it. That's why we prepare. That's why we get the documents. And it's the role of the upper house for accountability and review.
Well done. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today, and we appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you next Thursday, Mark.
Fantastic. Thanks, Brent.
Thanks,
all
Mark. Bye-bye. Thanks. Mark Latham, leader of One Nation in New South Wales.